It may seem to you that social media sites like Twitter are full of griping and negativity, but what you're experiencing may not reflect overall trends. Turns out people use many more happy words than negative, and not just on Twitter. A group of researchers led by two UVM mathematicians took words from 24 types of sources: books, newspaper articles, social media, television subtitles, music lyrics, etc. From the billions of words they collected, the team then asked people to rank the most frequently used 10,000 words from positive to negative on a 9-point scale. They did this in 10 different languages, and what they found is that there's a bias towards positive or happy words in every language they studied and from every type of source. Peter Dodds and Chris Danforth are the mathematicians at UVM's Computational Story Lab, and they led the study.
Actually, our work was motivated by trying to create an instrument to measure happiness and sadness from large texts, so whether it be Twitter or the news or, you know, any kind of large text. And so that's what we've been working on for about 7 or 8, 9 years now, I think. And along the way, we figured out that we would need to measure individual words for their happiness levels. So we started to create surveys, and it became clear to us after a while that there were basically more happy words than sad words. And we have just completed this big study, or had it published, 10 languages. So it's really, you know, diverse: Arabic, Chinese, Korean, English, of course, Spanish, Brazilian Portuguese, Russian, very spread out. And as all of those languages came back from our surveys, we saw the same pattern. We'd done English first, and we saw that there were more happy words in all of them.
You mean there are actually more happy words than negative words in the language, or they're used more often?
Yeah, so it's both of those things. Okay. So commonly used words have this balance of positivity, or this bias of positivity, and rarely used words do too. So it's actually, yeah, independent of the frequency of usage, which is a really important aspect. And then we start to look at, well, you know, is there anything else that's been noticed about this? And the Pollyanna principle, which was formulated in the late 60s by psychologists, was this observation that people, for various reasons, may tend to talk about more positive things. They may remember things that are more positive just because it's good to, you know, you want to keep existing and have a life that keeps going. So we have a bit of a bias in that way. And what we've seen now is that it's embedded in our language. It's our great social technology. It's this extraordinary thing that we have for communicating socially. And because of its socialness, this observation that there's a positive bias it seems a very reasonable one. It's surprising as well, because the news is full of bad things and there are terrible threads in social media here and there. But if you step back from that and look at language as a whole, and this is in Twitter, it's in literature, it's in movie and TV subtitles, it's in the news, we see this positive bias over and over again.
So you're finding it across platforms.
That's right. We actually, in creating this instrument, have put all of this data online. So if you go to hedonometer.org, you can see a daily updated map of the United States showing the happiest states in the country. Vermont has been the happiest state over the last 30 days. People are using the words amazing and family and snow a lot.
Snow is considered a positive word?
It is. Around here it is, yeah.
They're saying cold as well.
They are.
Yeah, yeah, that could go either way.
Yeah. Some of us are happy to be outside. And you can also go and see, you know, for 1,000 movies, how happy the words are over the course of the script of the movie, and 10,000 books, the New York Times by section. There's all sorts of information online about the output of the instrument.
How did you rank what's considered a positive word or a happy word versus a negative word?
Initially, what we did was we asked people on the web through a service that Amazon provides to... They saw a scale from 1 to 9 where, you know, there was basically a sad face to a smiley face, and they were just supposed to click the face that made them, that represented how they felt when they saw the word. So words like sunshine and laughter get very positive scores, close to 9 on this scale. You can ask 50 people and they'll all basically say the same thing. There are some words that we rate that get very different scores from different people depending on how they interpret them. Church is one of those words.
Profanities.
Definitely.
We have to say,
yeah.
Alcohol, various vices, cigarettes, and so on. There's a big skew of, so we tend to take those words out because
so they're
ambiguous.
Included because they're so polarizing.
They're very context dependent.
Yeah.
And so other words like that might have a positive bias. So something like awesome, mm-hmm. you know, if you ask 50 people out of context, they're probably going to say, yeah, that's a positive word. Awesome. Great. But if you were to look at it in a social media context, for example, you might have somebody who's posting a really sarcastic tweet like, oh, yeah, that movie was awesome, obviously meaning not awesome. So how do you account for that when you're looking at what is actually a word bias versus a meaning bias?
Right. So one of the things we do with our instrument is we never actually evaluate one sentence by itself because it's and there's a whole field of natural language processing that attempts this incredibly difficult task. We take huge numbers of words to get a score, and it's much more like measuring the temperature. So, you know, we wouldn't want to measure the temperature of, you know, just in a tiny little patch of air. We want to measure it for Burlington. So we do the same sort of thing. And, you know, as far as sarcasm goes, yeah, that's an incredibly difficult thing to get at. But it's hard to have a whole book that's sarcastic. It sort of runs its course.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've seen when we've looked at the phrases that words are in, it works pretty well, actually. And so some of these words are ambiguous, but many of them do correlate well with the kind of phrase structures they're sitting in.
Do you have words that just fall on one end of the spectrum or the other that are at the top of your head, like the most negative words and the most positive words?
Sure. Many of the words that that I mentioned before, so laughter and happy, a lot of things from Twitter like ha, 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 ha. You know,
yeah, ha, ha is very important, actually.
Yeah, it's something you wouldn't see in the New York Times, but that shows up on Twitter.
Or Anna Karenina. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right. So it's just not there. But it's and swearing as well, right? So this ha, ha is a super important word, actually, on Twitter. Yeah. And ha, ha, ha. And then every variation.
That's just, right. Yeah.
Yeah, people use a lot. It's real, yeah.
How did you discover that that's a really important word on Twitter, not just a word that you chose and then you asked people to rank?
So we collect from Twitter about 50 million messages a day, and that's about a trillion words over the last 5-6 years that we've been doing this. And one of the things that we do is we just sort them out and how often each word is used every day. We can count that. And so various versions of ha ha ha, they end up in the top 5,000 most frequently used words on Twitter in every language. There are versions in
What are the versions of ha 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 in other languages?
So in Spanish, it's jaja. And so most of them are, you know, they require two characters to write, except in Brazilian Portuguese, there's kkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkkk right? So that, you know, and that actually gives rise to different distributions. You see really long sets of Ks in tweets. And when we first saw that, it was like, what is this? It's so strange. And then we figured that out.
And it was regular people who you asked to determine the value of how positive or negative or neutral these words are. It wasn't the two of you deciding that one's really positive.
So absolutely. So this is a really important part of it. The words that we use to evaluate, they're the words that people actually really use in these different venues, whether it be literature or Twitter. It's what people use. So we rated the and of and. Most common words. We're going to rate those. RT for retweet. That's the most common word now on Twitter. We're just going to ask people. And because we're trying to make an instrument that fits the real language, and we'll deal with it later on, you know, whatever the scores are. And the second part is, yeah, we asked, we're not going to give you the evaluation. We want to know what people think in general. So so we used, as Chris said, an Amazon Mechanical Turk service. First off, and then we used actually a more sophisticated translation service because it's hard to get to who native speakers in all these different languages. And you know, it was an expensive study actually, and it took a lot of time, and it was very professionally done by this group. You actually had to be a pretty good speaker, right? It was hard for us to pass the test. There were all these things you had to listen to and answer questions. So it turned out to be kind of a high quality. Thing that we were able to generate.
Yeah, worldwide, we ended up getting 5 million evaluations of words from people.
Wow.
Yeah.
So those articles, A and the, were those ranked neutrally?
They were. And they were ranked neutrally in every one of these 10 languages. And that's one of the things that makes this positive bias we've observed really exciting, because it's not simply the fact that somebody's taking an experiment and they have a positive experience, and so they want to rate things positively. You know, those neutral words rank in the middle for all of these languages. And for example, in Spanish, it turned out that 9 out of 10 words that were rated ended up having an average that was happier than neutral. So even when the neutral words are at this 5 spot in the middle.
Right. And of the least biased language we looked at was, it's really a word set. It was Chinese literature from Google Books. And it was 7 to 3 was the
balance
there.
7 happy, 7 positive.
Yeah, yeah. If you take out the neutral words, so if you take out the words that are sort of on average neutral, and you look at the ones that are that really have a bias, you know, that are positive or negative, then yeah. So even in the least biased one, it's still pretty strong.
And what's the most biased language that you found?
Yeah, it was Spanish.
That's right.
Yeah. And Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese. So
which were roughly
those trended
9 positive
happier.
To 1 yeah. negative word, yeah.
But it's mixed. So Russian, for example, Russian Twitter was kind of in the middle of the pack. So we had 10 languages but 24 wordless. And so that was in the middle of the pack. Russian literature was near the bottom. And so it was spread out. We did find the Spanish ones were, and it was rated by people in Mexico. They were all at the top in terms of their median level of happiness. And then you had Brazilian Portuguese was up there as well. But you know, some of the others were kind of spread out. Music lyrics for English, which includes really the full gamut, right? So there's, and it's not weighted by popularity. It's just simply the lyrics. Yeah, heavy metal, right? And gospel is at the top. And so they're all in there, and that's kind of down the bottom on average.
The one question I have for you guys is, it seems very convenient that two guys doing research in Vermont have found that the happiest state
We're
is Vermont. I mean, that just that defies the smell test for, you know, good science here.
Yeah, what can we say? So Burlington also, this is pretty bad. Burlington is ranked 5th, I think, now for 2014 out of about 300 cities that we have. We also have cities, so that's not good either. you know, Boulder's number 1. Right, so we can feel a little bit bad, but what can we say? I don't know. It's just we did these very different kind of activities. You know, we looked at the words people used in all these different venues. We got the scores, you know, made by people who don't live in Vermont. They live all over the country, and then we fed Twitter into it, and that's what came out. So we're happy about the result, but we did not make it happen.
So, but happy tweeters in Vermont, that's what we know.
I will add that they are emotionally closed a little bit, right? So Vermont doesn't have a big spread of them, right?
There's a lot less profanity coming out of Vermont.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. So a bit happier, but not as expressive, which I think is, you know, not a bad New England kind of story.
Vermont tends to do really well on these other ratings too. So it's,
so that's true.
It's not just us. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. You've got
that's
other
true.
Research to
that's
back
right.
it up.
Yeah.
The
that's
health
true.
And well-being surveys. Yes. And, right. All right. Okay. I'll give you a pass. Peter Dodds and Chris Danforth, thank you very much for talking to me about your research. I appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
And we have a link to their work and to the Hedonometer, the mathematical tool they've used to track how many positive words are showing up in real time on Twitter and other social media. It's hard to say, but it's a very cool tool. So go to vpr.net, find the link there to have a look at this tool and check out more.